Welcome to Geordie Lass and Doc Sass. One day, a Geordie and a Canadian walk into a bar and decide to start a podcast about relationships. And what a topic that is. No subjects are off limits. Get in touch today with us at geordielass.com or email info@geordielass.com and let us know what you think and what we should talk about.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
How's it going?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. I just love your very light blue fuzzy sweater, which is both elegant as well as comfy, and it makes me think of wonderful warm things. Just saying.
Well, thank you. I'm feeling very warm and cozy today, actually.
Oh, nice. Right on.
Yes, I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good, and I think spring kind of is in the air here in
Athens. It's coming, it's coming.
Do you feel? Yeah, right? It's crazy. It's so funny how you can be like freezing cold, and then a couple of days later, you're like, oh my God, there's light at the end of the tunnel.
I know. We are definitely guided by the weather, that's for sure.
I swear. The second I can, you know, pick up some ballet flats, I'm like, oh, this is, living is good.
I was just talking to somebody today about the flip-flop season, which kind of lasts from sort of the end of March to as long as possible into October. And you don't need any other footwear. All you need is flip-flops.
I know, I agree. Although, speaking of, I'm going to have to put those away for a few months because I'm having a foot surgery month.
What's happening?
Yeah, just an elective surgery. My feet are soon on the way to becoming those very misshapen feet that you see where the toes cross over. Mine are headed in that direction. So yes, I'm going to correct that before it gets worse. As a result of which, I think I'm going to be in a boot, which had me looking up, how do you conduct all the activities of your life in a boot, including intimate times with your partner? It is possible.
Isn't that one of those boots that you take off though?
Yes, but I have to check, like, for the first couple of weeks, like, do I have to never take it off? I'm not quite sure. So
I think you can take them off to wash and things.
And things.
Maybe you have to combine some activities together to use it most of the time.
Well, it's funny because, you know, certain intimate activities can be quite vigorous, and I have to be very careful not to accidentally weight bear in all of those shenanigans. So I am looking up.
It's good to mix it up a bit sometimes.
It is so true.
Go for some tender loving.
Oh my gosh, it's so true. I love
to live and care after a relationship.
I love this advice. It also gets me thinking about people who need accommodations after things like delivery and in breastfeeding and, you know, intimacy changes. You could have a prostate operation. I mean, so many things require TLC and accommodation and consideration.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, that took an odd turn.
Well, I wasn't expecting that.
I know. I'm curious, what's at the relationship desk of love? I would be beside myself if it related.
I don't think it does. I'm sorry to disappoint you. So somebody kindly sent me this relationship love desk news.
Oh.
I was sent this story about a couple in Jersey who were reunited after almost 50 years apart.
Oh my gosh. How big is Jersey? How can you be?
No, they live in Jersey now, but it had me as well. I was thinking, what? We did the meet in Jersey and then had 50 years apart and then came back to Jersey. I was kind of like, I wasn't sure to begin with. But anyway, so I read this story that somebody kindly shared with me. So it says that it was love at first sight when Jenny and Mike first met in Germany back in 1971. I'd just like to say before we...
I was going
to
say, like, I thought you were talking about the 40s. I'm like, oh, crap. Oh, no, these stories are... Okay, we're this farther... Yeah, it's crazy. Okay.
You weren't even a twinkle, I'd like to say.
I totally was. Oh, no, I wasn't. You're right.
You weren't.
Almost a twinkle. No, you're right.
So they met back in Germany in 1971, but after a blissful 3 months together, the couple were drawn apart because of their work commitments, and they didn't see each other again for 45 years.
Wow.
Now they are both in their 70s and married and living in Jersey, and they shared their story with the world. So it goes on to say kind of like they met, it was instant love at first sight. They had a picture that they exchanged with each other and they both wrote on the back, "I love you." And just because of kind of circumstances and the way that things went on, they then kind of had this blissful 3 months, and he's still very much in the honeymoon phase then, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And spent all of the time together. And then sadly, they were kind of torn apart. They tried, so they each kind of went on to have their own lives. They got married, they had kids. But there was always something that kind of, that little kind of spark, there was something that they kind of knew. And they were always kind of, I guess, that kind of first love and that kind of first blush of romance.
Wow.
And so, yeah, so they tried many, many times to get in touch with each other. And then in, what did it say? So Jenny was widowed in 2015 and Mike was divorced. And in 2017, after several attempts of making contact, Mike found Jenny on Facebook and messaged her.
Oh,
what would you do without Facebook?
Oh my God. Yes. The necessary evil.
So it says they got married in Jersey in 2019 and they said that they have had a great relationship with each other's families. And yeah, so back reunited. And the Jenny says, "I'm a bit wiser than I was then." And she said, maybe if they got together in the 70s, they would have been divorced now. But they found that it was the right time for them to meet back up again. And they say that they'd never go back, but they are just so pleased that they have met each other and rekindled their love.
Oh my gosh. Now, sorry, where were they living? Does it say?
So they were living in the UK prior to that.
So both of them, different regions.
Yeah. So different places. They moved from Germany where they met. They moved back to the UK and then ended up in Jersey and got married here.
Oh my gosh. I would love to see them walking along the promenade on the sea.
There are quite a few people actually who did get married and come to Jersey for their honeymoon, like years and years ago, who frequently come back and visit the island because of that.
That is really cool. That's a beautiful way to start off our podcast.
Oh, it's lovely.
Yeah. But it is so true. Right place, right time. It sounds crazy. Mm. I think a lot of us older folks, and the more we age, we'll look back on some relationships of our past and say, we probably could have made that work had we had a bit more maturity, a bit more skills, and a little bit less ego.
Yeah, I think a bit of skills, some communication, some understanding,
right,
some openness, being curious, all of those things that you kind of develop later on in life and, yeah, put them to good use.
Absolutely. Oh, that's a wonderful story. I love it.
It is.
Oh, good times.
So, now I've started you off on a happy place. I'm going to move you to the hot topic, which maybe isn't so much a happy place.
That's okay. We can roll with it. Let's go. Let's see what it brings.
We need to explore all avenues of relationships.
I know there's neither good podcast. Nor bad. There's just learning. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Why are marriage rates on the decline?
Yes. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. You know what's odd? What's happening is that this is such a pronounced trend that the actual success of marriage is starting to creep up, right? So like the marriages that stay together are starting just a little bit. Millennials are starting to creep those stats back up again. But yes, okay, let's get into it.
Yeah. Well, I came across some interesting research which talked about kind of marriage rates and how they are on the decline. And this is based on UK stats. Mm-hmm. And it suggests that by 2062, only one in every 400 adults in the UK are likely to marry, which is compared to one in 100 today. So then when you look at kind of what do those numbers represent, it represents 67,000 marriages in 2062 versus 213,000 marriages in 2019.
Wow.
It's a massive shift, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I can see it. Absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, talking about marriage stats there as well, you said about kind of marriage rates being more successful. I found an interesting statistic in this same kind of research where they talked about the average length of marriage. So what do you think would be the average length of a marriage?
Right now, you mean? I'm going to say average 10 years.
Almost, yeah. 11.9 years.
Interesting. In my calculus, in my educated guess, I thought, okay, 7-year itch slash the onset of the disillusionment, that crushing sort of fear that you've married the wrong person and you have no idea who they are and they you, sets in around 8 years. And I'm thinking, okay, well, then add a couple of years on top of that to get your divorce proceedings. I know it sounds terrible, right?
It's true. And we've talked before about the stat, which is, oh, shocks me. But, you know, the average person stays in an unhappy relationship for 6 years before they decide to take action.
Yeah.
And usually the action is separation.
Right. Yeah, that's wild. So,
it's complicated business, right?
Oh, it is. So, you know, we run into a lot of people, even in our personal lives, we're fairly similar in age and our cohort. And there's just a lot of people and you hear them. They're like, I'm not going to get married. I doubt it's going to work. I have to give up my freedom. Also, in most societies, cohabitation is okay. And in many places in the world is actually considered by law to be giving you the same, whether it's like health insurance, benefits, life insurance, and what have you. I don't know. Yeah. What other things? For tax reasons. So a lot of people see that there's no benefit to marriage. A lot of people have lost some sort of religious faith. They don't identify with a faith. All in all, and actually in more recent months, I'll say, I am like, this is making me increasingly sad. I'm like, if we have nothing to look forward to and nothing to believe in, nothing to put our faith, our blind faith in, and everything is just cold, hard facts, where are we going?
Well, you know, and I get that as well. Like, I was doing some reading and it was talking about how one of the reasons potentially that marriage is on the decline is because people are so much more focused on kind of themselves and on that individuality and putting themselves kind of at the forefront. And that actually made me quite sad because we know that we will be happier, more successful, we'll live longer if we are married, if we're in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But yet we aren't then kind of subscribing to that kind of that commitment that is, you know, previously would have been kind of very religious based, but it is a legal commitment to kind of bound two people together.
It is. I think it's a legal commitment, as my lovely friend says. It's the most risky financial investment you'll ever make is getting married. Because, you know, and we coach a lot of folks who go through the disillusion and everybody is very shocked to go to a mediator and realize their assets just got chopped in two. And there's really no way around reality.
You say that, but like, I always think there's a flip side to kind of everything. But the flip side is, would you have made as much? Would you have amassed enough as many assets if you were doing it solo? We were talking about this the other day. So, like, obviously, we're not married, moved in with a boy a few years ago now. But we're talking about, we had a bill that came in. And because you kind of split your finances like 50-50, it's just having kind of anything kind of unusual that comes up or kind of those extra expenses doesn't quite seem as painful because you're only, you know, you're paying 50% of it as opposed to paying 100% of it.
And true.
So you would, you know, that's then potentially 50% that you're saving that you can do something else with. But equally, you know, if you buy a house together, you're more likely to buy a house that's worth more because you've got two salaries and you can push your kind of mortgage to the limit. And in which case you are then more likely on average to then kind of amass more wealth as a result of that, because the percentage of growth is based on a higher percentage. Or on a higher figure. So I think, you know, there's definitely two ways to look at this.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I mean, and the intangible benefits is that, you know, somebody who's like, you know, I had a real uptick in my earning and I was very successful during my marriage. You know, is it even possible to separate the threads of, if you had played that exact same life and had been single, you know, late nights, all sorts of debauchery and rowdiness, like, would you have gotten the same promotions and the same? There are a lot of tangible benefits or intangible benefits to marriage, for sure. You know, even something as people, I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but I see this all the time. You know, you may have gotten promoted because you were considered to be a stable entity because they've met your partner and they think you guys are a nice couple and they met your kids. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but this can attract promotion and investment, that visage of stability, even if it's not stable on the inside.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's the question, though, isn't it? I mean, do you need the marriage to actually still reap those rewards and those benefits and incentives? I know if your relationship is healthy, then you are more likely to be more successful. It doesn't necessarily say that you need to be married in order to do that. And I guess this is maybe where some of the disconnection comes in, because people say, well, I can have all of those things. I can be, you know, healthier. I can be happier. I can be more successful. I can still have children if I choose to, because I don't necessarily need to be married for that. But we can still kind of invest in the relationship in the same way as if we were married.
And I think, you know, I think that it's like, do you like chocolate ice cream or do you like strawberry? Because I think there's going to be
chocolate all the way.
I'm like, I haven't had ice cream in a long time. I'm like,
me neither.
Why not? Oh, yeah.
My other half, every time we go out, will order ice cream. Not every time. I'm doing that thing that people always do.
Every time and no time.
Every time.
Always and never. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Well, more often than not.
Sikna in Greek. Sorry, just learning. Go on.
more often than not, he will order ice cream when we go out.
Oh, must be nice. Must be nice to have that kind of metabolism. Yeah, no, you know, I'm like, maybe I should have some ice cream tonight. Anyways, oh my gosh, this, we always record around dinner time, which is our hungry time.
We do. I know. I'm always starving when I'm recording.
It's like going to the supermarket hungry. Don't do it.
I know. Never record a podcast on an empty stomach.
Yes. Everybody listen up. Yeah. Hold on a second. Ice cream. Oh my gosh. Oh, yes.
Chocolate and strawberry. I'm going to
thank you. Thank you. So I don't think I can make a sweeping generalization either way, because I thought I was one type of person. And now I realize I'm another type of person. I thought that I was the person who could have a long-term relationship without formalization of the state and just kind of kumbaya and sit under the radar of that sort of crushing formality of marriage and so forth. And I thought I was pretty wise and smart. And then I got married. But what I realize is I didn't bring into that marriage that in it to win it commitment. In my mind, I still felt like I was just cohabitating without a contract. And, you know, honestly, especially if you don't have shared assets, it's pretty easy to get divorced. And that's actually super sad. That just filled me with sadness. I now realize that I can't myself, just me, I like strawberry ice cream. I cannot really commit unless I don't see any other option. Now, that sounds terrible. There's always, you know, I am privileged enough to live in a segment of the world where I do have an option to leave and I have financial independence. But there's this kind of thing, if you're always looking at your escape hatch, if you're always like, you know, where's my ejection seat option, you're never going to play well in an argument or a conflict. You're never going to reach for your highest self. You're never going to really stretch for those extra little daily acknowledgement and love and gestures. And again, really in it to win it. You're always going to be looking at like, well, if this doesn't work out, I've always got that ejection option.
So do you, just kind of like picking up on that then. So are you saying that in your mind, you have to be married in order to feel 100% committed to a relationship?
Good question, because I was married and I didn't bring that along with me. I think, oh my gosh, I'm just
speaking. Things can change over time. This isn't about, this is curiosity and exploration, that's all.
Ah, love it. I think I have grown to respect marriage more with time. Like, I didn't kind of get it, and now I think I understand. You know, you see all these couples at their 50-year wedding anniversary, and man, they've gone through some hardship. They have walked some long roads together. They have They have held their tongue. They have accommodated. They have accepted all the things. They have loved. They've put love first and of the other before themselves. So I think now with a finer appreciation of marriage, now it may not be everybody's definition, but for me, I now am standing in awe of that promise and that commitment. And I think now it is essential because now I'm ready for it, I think. Mm. Yeah. What about you?
It's funny, I've talked a lot recently about kind of grit and how we need grit to just get us through life in general.
Yeah.
Because the things kind of turn up all the time, don't they, where we think, oh, I really don't want to do that. But we have commitments. So sometimes we have to do the things that we don't want to do, you know, and sometimes we just have to kind of push through some of those things. And I guess what you're saying is that kind of that commitment, that marriage, that contract that you enter into means that you are more likely to dig deep and find that grit in when times are kind of tough than you would be potentially if you weren't married.
Yes, for me, that is so true. Yeah, it's so true. And I'm, you know, I coach a lot of folks, but there's also something like, so there's things that I have observed. It is really amazing. I've seen the people that I coach come through some really hard conflicts. Holy man. Mm. And I'm like, man, if there was like, what is holding you together? It, you know, perhaps we should be surprised that more marriage, that the marriages that do last, the 50% or so, that they actually do. It's actually astonishing.
Yeah.
But we do know that it does, well, okay, it makes men healthier, women not so much, prolongs men's life expectancy, women probably takes away from us. But yeah, you know, for me, I think I could probably live longer and live a more peaceful, free life without a long-term commitment marriage. I don't think that I would like myself and I wouldn't enjoy a life led without these challenges.
Yeah. Well, I think we are designed to be with other people. I think we are designed to have close personal relationships. And I do worry about that kind of closeness and that vulnerability and security and safety that you get from having a kind of, you know, really good, strong, healthy relationship with a partner. I worry that kind of, are we going to miss out on that? Like, what does it look like in 2062 was the kind of research suggests, because we already know that mental health is kind of, or mental unhealth is on the rise. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wonder about the kind of those relationships and close bonds that we form, how much that's going to impact that even further.
You know, it's funny because like I hear that, but then I'm like, but might there not be this boomerang effect where people actually might we reach a rock bottom and then start heading in the other direction?
Possibly, yeah.
Because I think those stats were probably, or those projections are kind of in a vacuum, you know, sort of if we trend from where we are now and where we've been coming in the last 30 years, sure. But I think Gen Z is going to surprise us. I think Gen Z is going to bring it on back, and that might be like 90s hip hop or grunge. I think good things are coming back with Gen Z. Does that sound crazy?
Let's see if we're still going in like 20, 30 years and we can...
I think so.
And we can review this again in the future.
Yeah, no, I think that a lot of these doomsday projections are sort of accounting for if things were to continue in this trend in a vacuum without any other factors. Mm-hmm. But we live in this dynamic system of feedback loops, our environment, our climate, mm-hmm. our social trends. I don't know. I used to be really doomsday thinking we're all going to completely tank it in 2015, civilization will end. I am old enough to remember this movie called Mad Max, which scared the living crap out of me. This like post-apocalyptic no man's land. We're all fighting it out in the desert. I think all the women were pretty ripped though. So like that would be pretty cool. But yeah, I don't know. I would like to pitch an opinion here and say, I think that we can't know what the future will hold because we're in a dynamic system. Mm. And I think we have more reason to be optimistic about human potential.
Possibly.
Watch this space in 30 years.
who knows, come back, see us again this time in 30 years and we'll let you know
yes.
if Anna's predictions were correct or not.
Yes, yes, yes.
I think we naturally kind of say things are going to be kind of worse than they are. I think that's just, as you say, you know, you take a set of numbers and you extrapolate it out and you go, this is what's going to happen.
Mm.
And you're right, there are many other contributing factors. So we've got, you know, we don't really know how things are going to be impacted. But I think it'll be interesting. I think I do genuinely feel like something's got to change because I feel like people are growing unhappier by the decade and that kind of,
yes,
that isn't sustainable.
And that is true. And that's where, I don't know, I'm naively, I would like to think we're at a rock bottom or approaching one very fast, because I don't think that we need to have all-out war to really reckon and acknowledge not only the unhappiness, but the stress. You know, odd, like, what's affecting our fertility levels? Probably maternal stress. You know, just the stresses of the corporate workplace and balancing that against all the silly expectations of women, and men have their own stresses in terms of just mixed messages flying from left, right, and center.
Yeah.
We have to be at an inflection point. I don't know, simpler living, I don't know, something, who knows?
Yeah. Something's got to give.
Exactly. So yes, it's a trend. We don't know where we're going. The projection sounds scary. Or interesting.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm not going to be judgmental as to one way or the other, but I would just say that if there be an option that spreads more joy, hope, fulfillment, and ease, and I'm going to say that, like, committing to somebody and doing hard things, like, hard work is inevitable and hard work makes us happy. Phil Stutz, Jonah Hill's psychiatrist, great documentary if you've never seen it. He's like, there's inevitable things. It is hard work. Oh, there's a few other couple of things. But yes, hard work is inevitable. It is the human condition and it makes us happy and it sets us free. So why not do some hard work with somebody else, making a darn old relationship work? Kind of like that fixer-upper house that's always falling apart and there's something new you have to, if it's not the roof, then it's the basement and then it's the, you know.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Indeed.
Yes.
All right. Shall I move us to a question before we debate more?
Yes, let's go for it.
Today's question. I'm starting to get itchy feet. I can't quite explain it, but I feel ready for a shift or a change in life. The last time I felt like this, I ended up divorced. There were other issues too. I am in a long-term relationship, but we aren't married. I am not sure how to play this or what to say to my partner. Should I even raise it? I feel like they are quite happy and settled, but something is missing for me, some personal fulfillment.
Oh, I love this. And oh my gosh, this happens all the time.
Yeah.
I do have to say, big congratulations to this person for even acknowledging that that's what's going on for them. Yeah. Because most of the time we just blame our partner and get divorced and then keep blaming our next partner until we've got this like graveyard of former relationships. And we're like, maybe it's me.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly, this person is kind of like, ding, ding, ding. Yes. Mm. Yes.
Yeah. It's, I think one of the key points for me is there around, like, should I raise it? Should I kind of ask the question? I feel like my partner's super happy and it's just me. And so I don't know whether to say anything or not. Like that, I just think you don't know kind of what's going on for your partner. Also, you know, you haven't explored whatever it is that you feel like you need to do next. And how do you know that your partner isn't going to support you in that? Like,
oh, bingo.
There's like so many times we go, oh, well, you know, you raise something, you ask a question, and then you go, and it's received like really well, and your partner gets really enthusiastic about that, they get behind it, and you kind of go, well, you know, I never really thought you'd go for that, because we have these set ideas mm-hmm. about what we think somebody else wants from life, or how they would react or respond to something, that we very often kind of hide so much of that because we are too kind of scared to raise it or ask the question, or we have written something off before we've even explored it because we just think, what's the point? What's the point of asking that question? Because I know the answer, or yeah. I think I know the answer.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, at like 5,000%. We are so good. Personal experience. I'm not being judgmental. I've been here. We're so good at saying, oh, I don't like this. I don't like that we watch Netflix and chill. I wish I could be doing something more exciting. I don't like the way we always have to go to their parents' house. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, we can really articulate all the problems. But when I would flip it and say, well, describe if your partner were not holding you back, and let's just presume they are, because that's not likely true, what would you do? And it's silence. And I've been there. I'm like, I don't know. So it calls upon you to start to face that blank slate of your life. That's our midlife crisis. Yeah. We have come through a lot of things, established our career, maybe had some kids, maybe we thought we were a certain way, and then we started to question our assumptions and messages and so forth. Maybe we're finally kind of over our childhood. And then now it's a full next chapter of our lives.
Yeah. Yeah. I do think you go through cycles in your life, and there are times where you kind of hit this point, don't you, where it's like, well, is this it? Is this have you kind of reached it? Is this it? Is this all that there is? And in those moments, it can be natural then to start to kind of feel like, I need something new, I need something fresh. And, but the answer isn't always to get a fresh partner.
Yeah.
Because I'm not saying, you know, in some instances, maybe it is, maybe that's the right thing for you to do. But I wouldn't necessarily automatically jump to the conclusion that the thing that's wrong or holding you back or stopping you from this amazing, fulfilling life that you are seeking is your relationship, because very often it's not. And it is a case of, you know, what is it? Try and kind of do some self-exploration. What is it you really think that you're missing out on? And, you know, the grass isn't always greener as well. Like, we've seen this time and time again where we think we want something, but actually you go and kind of try that on of our size and think, actually, maybe that's not me.
Yeah.
Maybe that wasn't what I needed after all. Yeah.
Oh, totally. Listen, it's a lot easier to blame your partner than it is to blame yourself. It's a really uncomfortable thing to be like, maybe I'm the source of my restlessness. Maybe I have gotten too complacent and it's time for a big internal shift. Yeah, it's so much easier to blame a partner. And the cool thing is, it can be very scary, but a relationship that is solid, where there's mutual respect and mutual communication, can help, can allow you to take some leaps, so long as they don't violate the rules, the agreed upon rules of conduct in your relationship. And it can be a really safe place to start to explore. And it might be that same safe space where you're like, I guess I'm not going to become a tango star in Argentina. Well, at least I can go dancing a few times a month. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's lots of the other thing, you know, if we talk about kind of career changes, because that's often something that's quite a big seismic shift, isn't it? Where I'm doing this this kind of role, I maybe fell into a career, maybe I've been doing it for 20 odd years, and I kind of think, well, I'm quite sure if it's me now and I've changed and I want kind of something that's different. Often being in a relationship can give you that safety net to be able to go and do that. When you're not in a relationship, it's actually becomes very difficult to start to make some of those changes, especially when kind of salary comes into question. Because if you start from the bottom again, or you've got to take a few years out to do some training to get into a particular specialist field, you can't really do that. Because, and so being able to make some of those changes, sometimes actually you wouldn't have that opportunity to do if you weren't in a relationship or married.
Yeah. No, it's oddly like there is a stability, it's funny because like maybe that new thing, it could be a new talent or a job or whatnot or a passion, but a lot of people make it being single. Being single is, and I've been there, and I kind of look back on that time and it was very exciting and it seemed to scratch that itch. I know what that itch feels like, but then I'm like, wait, what do I have to show for the last 3 years? A lot of some strange choices. But you know, and that was important and that was interesting. But you know, I would love to have, it's all about like what are the stable factor. Like I'd love to turn the dial to stability on my relationship so that from that I can then experience novelty somewhere else. That'd be great.
Yeah. I think one of the most beautiful things in a relationship is to want your kind of special person to kind of go and explore and be happy and feel fulfilled. And and want to kind of be the person that stand by their side and be in that support. I think that's just one of the most beautiful things about having a relationship.
It truly is. And it's so funny because something happened in my situation a few days ago where I witnessed some, like a whole massive step up jump in terms of what my man, you know, didn't think he could do. And then he realized, oh my gosh, I can do that. And it was like, oh my gosh, yeah. It is so inspiring to see your partner turn I can't into I can. And to be there to be able to cheer them on and to facilitate and so forth. It is incredible.
Yeah, definitely. We all need cheerleaders in our lives. And, you know, it's even nicer when that kind of cheerleading comes from somebody who brings extra special things in lots of other areas too.
Oh, yeah.
Just put a big smile on Anna's face.
So true. Oh my gosh, that's exciting. Nice.
So yeah, so I guess, I mean, have we answered the question? I'm not quite sure.
Well, I would say just get curious. You know, I wouldn't necessarily go to like Cosmo or another magazine or 10 Steps because I really do find people get led the wrong direction. Like, out with the old, in with the new, you go get a new partner. You know,
Yeah, I think there's some history there, isn't there, which is making this person kind of question stuff. Because if the last time you felt like this and there were other attributing factors, you then ended up divorced, you can kind of see that the brain's going, hang on a minute, you've got to be careful here, because the last time you felt like that, this is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can see that it's, you know, that's going to raise some kind of suspicion and some wariness. But what I would say is, no two relationships are the same. No two people are the same. And just because something has happened in the past doesn't mean to say that history is going to repeat itself. And I think you're absolutely right. Like, get curious, have a conversation. Just like say, you know, we don't always have to act upon the things that we're feeling as well. I think we've got this view that if something comes up for us, that must mean that we need to do something about it. But that isn't always true, right? I was just talking to somebody today about urges and how sometimes you might have the urge to do something that you know isn't good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of, if you can kind of sit with that discomfort for kind of, I think it's something like 7 minutes, that feeling, that discomfort will pass. So nothing kind of lasts forever, and you may be in this particular thing where you're like, oh, I'm feeling itchy feet, I'm not really sure what to do, I feel like I need something else. That's something else. That feeling may kind of up and pass, you don't know. But also you don't know what it is that something else is going to kind of fulfill it, and you don't know if that then has any sort of impact on your relationship or not.
Yeah, that's so true. Open mind, curiosity, don't react, let things sit, don't freak out.
Yeah.
And just
and
look within.
The safety of doing that inside a relationship.
Yeah. Requires a lot of communication, usually, hopefully established before, so that you can, because it's very scary. You know, I'm feeling like I want to make some big changes and grow into a different person. That's terrifying to your partner. They will be like, oh my God, what if they're going to outgrow me? Like a toddler outgrows their pants. It's a very scary thing.
I don't know where you were going there. You're going to see a toddler outgrows its parents.
It's like, oh.
They need them less or in a slightly different way. But
exactly. Well, that's exactly it. They need them, but in a slightly different way. And I suppose that's with a relationship too. We're all kind of toddlers.
Okay.
I think we're just all squirrely because we're like hungry. I'm smelling my stew on the stove. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I'm definitely ready for some food.
Oh my gosh, that and a little bit of wine. Just a wee bit of wine.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I will not stand between you and your stew. I will share one thing before I go that.
Oh, yes.
Partner this week. So I saw this on Instagram and I thought, this is definitely me. It says, If I say I'm hungry, we've got about 27 minutes until I'm a different person.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, I think we are fast approaching the 27-minute threshold of being hungry right now.
Yes, I completely agree. All right, let's evacuate before something bad happens.
Let's indeed. Okay. Till next time.
Till next time.
So that's it for another week of Geordie Lass and Doc Sass. We hope you've enjoyed listening as much as we've enjoyed chatting. Get in touch and share your questions for relationship remedies and any hot topics you want us to cover. If you need help navigating all things relationships, Anna and Sarah are available for one-on-one coaching support. Email info@geordielass.com. Please remember to like, share, subscribe if you've enjoyed listening. And if you've not, how on earth have you made it this far? I promise we'll try harder next time.